if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're streaming live on StreamYard. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Riley Barrett, Sander Sanchez. How you doing, guys?
JJ, you?
What's going on?
Hey, man. Big story came out a couple of days ago, but you know we got to talk about it, Sander. Dak got paid, man. Cowboys and Dak Prescott finally agreed to a deal in what seemed to be the longest story in freaking history, I feel. 4 years, $160 million, $126 million guaranteed. Whew, we chose the wrong profession, gentlemen. But, hey, Sander, you're our Cowboy fan of the group, so I'm going to start off with you. What's your reaction to the contract, and is the Super Bowl a bust for the Cowboys this year?
Well, my first reaction to the contract was, wow, you finally got it done. It took you long enough. If I'm looking at it from both sides, though, I feel like Dak got what he wanted. And the Cowboys, at the end of the day, they got what they wanted, which was solidifying the quarterback position. That was their main objective. Do we all agree that they should have gotten the deal done a few years ago? In fact, absolutely. The deal would have been a lot cheaper. But Jerry Jones has been a stiffness. I don't know why. I don't understand why he's been so hard on Dak, why he hasn't been able to get this deal done before when Carson Wentz got his money, Jared Goff got his money, and Dak was just sitting there. Zeke got his money, Jalen Smith got his money, and Dak was still sitting there riding for the team. When everybody was, you know, talking about protesting the national anthem and all that, Dak stood for Dallas and said, "Look, at the end of the day, I'm going to be there and support my team." And that's the type of guy that you want. And they got him. I feel like this, the money situation is being blown out of proportion. He's getting $75 million up the first year of the deal, which basically is most of the big money of the deal. And yeah, he's getting paid over $42 million a year. But after year three, we're going to look at this deal and look at it, wow, a bargain. Because come year four, after the collective bargaining agreement comes into play and they sign this new TV deal that's hundreds of billions of dollars, we're going to see Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, all these guys get paid over $50 million a year. So this Dak Prescott contract is not going to look that bad in years to come. They don't have that much room to work with, but they're not the worst team in this situation. They're 24th in cap in the league, which means they're not last. Okay, but they're not the best, which is understandable with after another move like this. They freed up $15 million in cap space, which was on top of the $20 million that they had going into the season. And you know what? That's still some wiggle room to sign you guys, and you're not going to get any of the big names, but you still have some room to work with, which was the main thing for Dallas, which was why he's getting $75 million of his contract up front in the first year. So we got to look at it as we understand this isn't a game of deserve. Deserves don't get it. Okay, it's really, at the end of the day, what the market values. So if that's what he's worth, it's next man up. When Josh Allen comes into play, when Kyler Murray comes up for the contract, when Lamar Jackson comes up for another contract, they're looking at this deal saying, wow, MVP, Lamar Jackson, that was never MVP. I'm for sure going to get more money. And that's all this is. So another thing about this deal, Dak, you know, he really like dug his heels into the sand and he really like stayed firm and he wanted four and he got 126 guaranteed. Now, I'm not going to say it's Super Bowl or bust year one, but he has 4 years to deliver a Super Bowl. If not, you're just going to go down as an overpaid quarterback and deliver a Super Bowl ring. And there's, I could go down the list of how many quarterbacks filled that situation and didn't deliver a Super Bowl ring. It's just one of those things. At the end of the day, he's not a bad quarterback. With Dak, the points per game, differential is out of this world. These guys are averaging 31 points a game with Dak. They're averaging 21 without. They're averaging 381 passing yards a game, which ranks first in the league with that. When he's out there, they're almost last, 28th in the league. So he's still valuable. And under the right circumstances, if they're able to give him a little bit protection, he can deliver. My expectations, though, coming off an injury like that for your question, I predict 10-6, 9-7 at worst. When you're in a division, again, it can win you a division. And hands down, Dak Prescott is now, even coming off that injury. So right now, automatically, the Cowboys are the best team in that division. Off rip. So all I'm saying is if the division 8-8 can win you the division, I see Dak giving the Cowboys more than 8 wins. Not 13-3, but at least 10 wins. So, you know, in the situation, I see pride rolling his eyes and but at the end of the day, they're both situations winning. The Cowboys got their quarterback and Dak got paid.
This is what I love about Cowboys fans. The denial is so real, it's almost comical. So first and foremost, you want to throw all these stats. Like, you know, with Dak, you know, they're top 10 in passing. All those stats are cute until you sit down and realize last year, arguably his best season, 8-8. So let's pump the brakes. By the way, before he got injured, they weren't so high. If I'm not mistaken, they were 1-3. Technically, you can call him 1-4 because he got injured in that game and he played over half, but I'm not going to do that to him. I'm feeling nice. About the deal. First and foremost, I laughed. You guys saw it. I was in tears. I thought it was a joke. I'm not even gonna lie. I thought I got pranked. Kid, you know, I thought it was just another fake Twitter account saying, oh, look at this deal. That's what I legitimately thought. As time went on and I realized this thing was legit, it just made me just laugh. So let's break this deal down. So obviously it's 160 for 4 years. 66 million signing bonus, NFL record, right? 75 million total in the first year, NFL record. $95 million fully guaranteed. So if he gets injured, don't matter. Fully guaranteed. That's another NFL record. Comes with a no trade clause and no tag provision. I got a $1 million question for y'all. Maybe y'all can answer. Who is this guy? Who is this kid? We're acting like he's a second coming to Troy Aikman. Last year, like I said, last year, people acted like that was his career year. And they went 8-8. The best year they've had with Dak Prescott at the helm was his rookie year. They barely threw the ball. Zeke was the Cowboys' offense. It ran all through Zeke. And you're going to – and again, dude's not accurate. You're going to go, oh, well, Dak is very accurate. When Joe Flacco got a better completion percentage than him, and he's been washed since his last year when he was with Baltimore. His last year, at the very least, he was washed. In terms of Jerry's – he a dummy. When I tell you he dropped the ball – he dropped the ball, picked it up, fumbled it, looked at it, then let Dak pick it up and run it. That's what he did. Dak literally got everything he wanted. Hey, if we're overpaying dudes, hey, God bless him. Take all the money you can get. And it's crazy. It's a 4-year deal. And after this deal, I guarantee you Dak is going to try to get another deal like this. And by the way, you wanted to mention Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson getting all the, oh, well, they're coming down the pipeline. They're better. So don't you can't compare guys who are better. And again, I will say this to that guy. I'm not a Lamar Jackson fan. I call him a running back. You guys know that. But I'll take Lamar Jackson over Dak, period. So you can't use those two names because they're better than Dak. They, you know, so again, Lamar got an MVP. I wholeheartedly disagree with it, but it's on his resume. Dak didn't get an MVP. And we're paying him a donk zillion dollars for what? To expect the dude to carry? He's not going to carry. He's not that guy. And honestly, especially coming off an injury, it's not going to work. The cap is already coming down. So to pay him all this money, I think there's a Super Bowl or bust. No, that's not going to work, especially considering how in shambles their defense is. Like, their defense was one of, if not the worst. So in terms of points per game, you want to talk about, oh, yeah, but Dak, they're putting up 30. They're also giving up 30. They're 28th in points. In terms of total yards, they're 23rd, giving up over 380 yards. And then rushing, they're dead last, giving over 150. So to say, oh, yeah, bro, these dudes – and you're chuckling, and that's fine. But, again, Some of these stats were with your boy there, and they went 1-3. So let's stop acting like Dak got paid. And don't do that, because before you even said you don't think Dak is worth that money. So don't do that. Don't do a 180 now that all of a sudden you guys, quote, got your man. No, you didn't get your man. You had to settle. Because that's why they franchised him, Tad. You asked, oh, well, how come they didn't sign him earlier? Because they didn't believe in him. Now they had no choice but to settle for the dude. That's it. Let's not act like Dak is this all great dude. If I was Jerry, and you guys know this, if I was Jerry, I would let Dak walk. Because once Dak walked out there, he was thinking, oh, I'm walking into paradise. Everyone's going to want me. I'm a star. Nah, bro. You're not walking out there like that, bro. You're going to walk into a desert, because ain't nobody was going to give you that type of money. Nobody on God's green earth was going to give you that type of money. And Jerry, for some reason, panicked. Like, I don't know why he panicked. I don't know. I felt like he was in the driver's seat the whole time, especially with Dak's injury. That played into his hands so much more. I've never seen a dude have so much leverage, so much of an advantage, and then just waste it all away. First time I think I've ever seen that. Because like I said, Jerry had the advantage whole time. He choked it. And unfortunately, now he's got to pay up. He better hope and pray Dak at least reaches an NFC championship. He better hope and pray, because if not, all this money is literally thrown in the garbage. You might as well throw me some, because I can do some of that money. If we just throw money away, that's fine. In terms of making the playoffs, they probably will, because the NFC lease is straight up dog booty. It's dog. You Google dog water, the NFC lease comes up. That's straight up how bad it is. When 8 wins, going 8-8 can possibly win you that division, or maybe even 9-7. That's how you know you're not in a good division. So, will they possibly win? They possibly will be in the mix, but if they win the division, they're getting bounced immediately. So that's just my opinion. I mean, JJ, you got to be the tiebreaker. Like, is this good or bad?
Listen, man, when it came to the whole thing of negotiations, Dak won this handily. You know, like, you know, Sanders outlined it perfectly. You know, he wanted 4 years. He got 4 years. He wanted the guaranteed money. He got the guaranteed money. Come on, we're talking about 4 years, $160 million, bro. Like I said, he wanted to be right behind Patrick Mahomes, and that's exactly where he landed. And then to top it off, he got the no trade clause, and he got the no tag. So he can't be tagged again, and that's a big one in itself, because that's a situation that he wanted to avoid walking into again. So I applaud Todd France and Dak Prescott. And, you know, we joked about it before. Next job interview that I go to, I need Todd France on my corner and tell him I want this amount of money per hour, because apparently he's the guy that could get a job done. And when it comes to Jerry Jones, guys, you know, I feel like Jerry was in a position where, you know, I think that he did this for the better of the team, because I feel like this team couldn't go again into the season thinking, damn, Jerry doesn't believe in Dak still. Look what Dak, how Dak got hurt. Like, what does Dak have to do to prove to Jerry that, you know, he is the quarterback of this team? And I get it, Pride. He's not Lamar. He's not Josh Allen. You know, I think him and Kyler Murray kind of walk hand in hand right now. You could either pick or they're both pretty good. But, you know, that's the market is what the market is, Sanders. So I understand the numbers of what they are. It's just what they had to pay him in terms of, is a Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys? You better at least win a damn playoff game, considering that you are favorites to at least come out the NFC East, because it's such a weak division. The Cowboys should be favored, considering that they arguably got the best quarterback in the division at the moment. I'm not taking any stock in, what's his name, Kyler Heinicke from Washington. Heinicke, you know. You got Jalen Hurts that, you know, there's still a little controversy. Is he going to be the guy? And then Danny Pennies. I have no faith in the man. So, yeah, I like Dak over all three of those guys. And I do think that they have the most talent within those teams. Probably, I'll give you a second. But, you know, if you got a playoff spot and you're going to host that for $40 million, that guy better at least win me that home playoff game.
Yeah, by the way, about Danny Pennies. Yeah, y'all so mean to Danny. He's not that bad. I personally put him in the same category.
More than anybody I ever met, bro.
But hold on. Just give me a second. I put him in the same category I put Sam Darnold. They're solid, but they're in a bad situation. I don't know. Maybe I heard Danny Dimes and it just stuck with me. Maybe it's just a nickname that I'm rocking right now, bro. Because I hear Danny Dimes and I just think of my man like hitting dots, like, you know what I mean. But I don't know. I don't think Danny Dimes is that bad. But I guess that's a conversation for a whole other day.
Man, what I say real quick to both of you guys, and you know, you made a good point, Pride and JJ, y'all both made a good point. Let you guys understand this. You say Dak is not the guy. Dak isn't this. And Dak has shown to underachieve with a talented squad. Yes, no doubt. I understand. But Dak has also been the person to keep them in positions where the only way they have a chance is because of him. So what I'm trying to let you know is that this guy what is it?
You know what I'm gonna say, and let me say it, Pride, because I'm gonna take your quote. If I shoot you in the leg and take you to the hospital and then apologize, are you gonna say no? You shot me, so you know Dak puts his team in those holes, and yeah, he finds a way to put them back in the game. But you're throwing 300, 400 yards of complete empty calories, Sander.
I'm just gonna say this. Because he's probably going to bring up how all these are clutch yards. Pull me the numbers of the yards when they're in a one-position game. If you can pull me those and show me he's – because he's not doing that. All of a sudden, his arm gets – he gets a cannon when they're down two-plus possessions. And I'm going to say this real quick. All three of us killed Ben Roethlisberger. When he decided to ball out when they lost to the Browns, when he decided to ball out when the game was completely out of hand. We killed him for it because he decided to show up when the game was done. It was garbage stats. You cannot sit there and then flip and go, oh, well, we're down two scores. Dak decided to ball out. Meanwhile, Dak still lost. Like, you can't do that. Like he said, if I shoot you and take you to the hospital, you're not going to thank me. You're not going to shake my hand, and you're not going to worship me. You're going to call me an idiot for shooting you in the first place, like.
At the end of the day, this is a guy that a few years ago, he was behind only Tom Brady for the most wins. But when he was healthy, and another thing about this injury, I've listened to nothing but football players talk about this injury, and this isn't a knee. This is an ankle. Players come back from this injury all the time, let alone a quarterback. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not a running back. He's not a wide receiver where he needs some cut. He's a quarterback position, one of the most protected positions in football. So he doesn't need to worry about the ankle as much as you guys make it. Oh, is he going
to
be the same?
You do have to worry about the ankle, and I'm explaining to you why. So, number one, he's not a stationary quarterback. He still moves a lot. So now you're going to lose some mobility. So now that's another element of his game that's going to be affected. And two, which is what I don't know if you haven't realized this, it's his plant foot. It's the foot that leads that he plants down to where he solidifies himself. If you're not feeling comfortable, I don't care if it's your knee. I don't care if it's your shin. I'm going to continue. I don't care if it's your knee, if your shin, or your ankle. If that plant foot, if you don't feel confident in that plant foot, it's going to mess with you psychologically. And if you don't think so, like, you're acting like he just kind of sprained his ankle. Bro, did you see his foot? Did you see the foot?
Ugly.
When your foot is pointing back at you the opposite way, you can't say, oh, that's a minor injury.
Dude, Alex Smith is the person. If I was 5-1 as a starter, so I'm not worried about the ankle. You guys are making such you specifically, probably. I mean, I can show you a list of players that have that play had worse injuries than that and came back. So
I'm not saying he can't come back. To say that it's not going to make any impact on him,
it's
at
not.
All,
it's not.
He's not that great. Stop it. He's not that great.
He's not that great.
He's so special and he's so dimensional. Dude, they can come back. Like when Tom Brady tore his ACL and came back, that you're acting like he's Tom Brady. He balled out. He's not Tom Brady. He's not this great player. He's not a phenomenal player. Because even healthy, 1-4. Healthy, 1-4.
You know what it is, JJ? These Patriot fans are so spoiled in having great defenses and a really good quarterback. Okay, so they're so spoiled. You need this. Listen, not everybody's the Patriots. Not everybody's the Patriots, right? All right. So you look at the defense they work with. They're giving up 30-something points. He doesn't play defense. He can't stop them.
Yep. He was so great. They were 1-3, giving up 30 points, and he could not score them.
Yeah.
So, they're giving up 30. Apparently, he couldn't score more. Apparently, because they were 1-4 before he went down. So you're ignoring that 1-4 when Dak was playing.
Dude, did he not win the division? He was staying healthy? Did he not go to the playoffs multiple years when he was healthy? Did he not win two playoff games while he was
healthy? He went 13-3 with Zeke carrying him. Then last year, when people argue was his greatest year, they went 8-8. That's all I'm saying.
You know what, guys? At the end of the day, I think that we're happy that we don't have to hear about Dak and Cowboy negotiations. The numbers are set. And no more franchise tags. And I think that everybody in the NFL is at least happy about that. And, hey, kudos to Dak for getting his money. I am mad at you, boy. You ain't getting tagged no more. But a guy that did get tagged was wide receiver from the Buccaneers, Chris Godwin. He ended up getting the exclusive franchise tag from the team, which was in the air because they weren't sure. Were they going to franchise tag him? Were they going to franchise tag Shaq Barrett, considering he was such a pivotal part to that playoff run? But they tagged Chris Godwin. They also came to an agreement with Lavonte David with a two-year deal, $25 million. I believe $20 million of that is guaranteed at the first year. So, you know, the big money is there up in front. And it really puts me back to question, and I'll start over you, Pride. Can Tom Brady and these Bucks repeat as champs?
The possibility. I personally, there's a lot of stuff they need to reacquire. For instance, Gronk is still out there, and like, you know, especially the second half of the year, that Tom and Gronk kind of got back on the same page. They might want to bring back AB to try to feature him more. But a name that people haven't really mentioned that's also on the market, Leonard Fournette. But coming into their bye week, nobody thought Tampa was going to win because they were kind of winging it. They were trying to figure out how are we going to play best. What can we do? Who fits where? They were trying to figure it out as they play. After that bye week, and when Leonard Fournette was like, yo, you know what? I'm running with authority. When they finally gave him a little more trust and he got his confidence back, Leonard Fournette has been a very, very crucial piece to their entire offense. Especially when he gets the run going, that now opens up because Tom Brady loves the play action. So now that opens it up a lot for him. Obviously, there's some defensive pieces they got to pick up. Obviously, Shaq is going to be the big one, and Ndamukong Suh. But in terms of do I think they can? I think they can because last team that repeated, maybe I'm being a spoiled Pats fan, are my 03-04 Patriots. And who was the captain? The one, the only. The greatest quarterback to ever grace God's green earth. You can go ahead and roll your eyes, but guess what? My man got seven chips, and he's got seven more chips than y'all had in the last 25 years. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. What a GOAT.
That's why he talks like this. That's the only reason why he talks like this when it comes to football.
Big facts. Yep, big facts. And guess what? And guess what? You ready for the funny part? Guess what? We're going to be good in terms of salary, and y'all going to be struggling to get out of the first round. But anyway, let's go back to the Bucks. I believe they can. I'm not going to bet against Tom. Obviously, there's a lot of pieces they have to reacquire. If they just bring back Shaq and Ndamukong Suh and then just fill the other pieces with some role players, maybe even bring back AB because Gronk is going to come back. Gronk ain't – as like Brady's there, Gronk is going to come back. Maybe try to bait, yo, AB, let's give you a cheap little two-year deal, and AB might want to since they just want a ring. He might want to repeat, you know? If they just bring back some of those crucial pieces, I think they're right there. That's just me because that defense was solid. Like, it was a – like, I don't know about y'all, but, man, I almost bought a Bucks jersey. And then at first I was going to get a Tom's jersey. I swear to God, I almost did. And then all of a sudden, Shaq came on my screen. And I was like, hey, yo, I've never been a Ndamukong Suh fan. And I'm out here clapping on him for having beef with Aaron Rodgers. That's hey, how much
of a fan hey, he Brian, was. What's your last name again?
Derek. Yes, sir.
Talk about spoiling.
He out here doing my name proud. That's why every time someone think of Barry, they don't think of me. I jest. But I think they can. In terms of betting favorites, they're third. Which top three, it goes, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Chiefs and then the Packers who were in second, which surprised me a lot, to be honest. And then it's the Bucks. But I'm not going to bet against him. Just like in the NBA, I don't bet against that man born in Akron, Ohio. This man, Tom Brady, I ain't betting against him. I ain't that crazy. You feel me? The dude, Tom Brady's out here balling. 40 touchdowns, 4,600 yards, and a passer rating of 102. Talking about he washed. Woo! Don't do that. Don't do that to him. Don't do that to Brady. Don't. Remember last time they got him mad? Roger Goodell suspended him for four games. What happened? Don't get this man mad, but Do I think they can? I believe they can, especially with Tom Brady at the helm. I'm assuming you think that the Packers can knock them off, or how, what you thinking?
Nah. To be completely honest with you, whenever a team has Tom Brady, it's just they're always a threat. Those years, you know, there was a few years where pride, you know, for you look at them on roster and you're like, what am I working with? But that Tom Brady still managed to take them to the Super Bowl. We don't bet against goats like that. And Brady, if they tool up again, they have another shot of winning this. That defense is building continuity. The more they spend time Jack back, they really do, because he would him. They solidified that linebacker core, and you know they made it real difficult for a lot of, you know, inside passes, because they were phenomenal on the pass coverage, both of them. So anything that they can do right now, maybe bring back AB. Honestly, Pride, even if they don't bring back AB, if Leonard Fournette to that running back core, they have weapons all over the place, because you just brought back Godwin. You still got Mike Evans under contract. You got Cameron Brady. Ali Mapper is getting healthy, which was a big key into the a few of their losses during the season, because they didn't have it. And when he was playing, it was like looking at Brady every pass play. You know, I have to give it up to Lavonte David, you know, old player going into last season. You know, a lot of players thought of bringing a championship to his resume definitely solidifies him as one of the top defensive players in our era. You know, he's definitely under the radar a lot of years, but you know, look at what one player like Brady can do to an organization. And I see cliff, no fall off, no credit. I see this man continuing to be elite, great. And honestly, I think Brady has the potential and the possibility of retiring on top, which means just going off in the sunset with a championship.
Yeah.
Let me just sneak in here real quick. I feel like we're being very disrespectful. OJ Howard was injured, so I kind of got to apologize, because I feel like bringing back Gronk is like a must. I kind of forgot he was on the roster, so let me just apologize real quick, because that's a bad man right there. But go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, you know, I love when we disagree, guys. It's one of my favorite things that we do. But unfortunately, we're going to have to hat trick this one, because I really do think that the Patriots, I don't know if they could repeat as champs, but I do see them coming up the NFC, because the Bucks, Buccaneers. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the NFC North, and Carolina's trash can right now. Falcons, you know, I think they're in rebuild right now. And the Saints, is Drew Brees coming back? You know, they're kind of in cap hell themselves. Is Michael Thomas going to come back and be elite as he once was? He wasn't himself last year. Kamara's a stud, you know. Hopefully he stays healthy throughout the whole season. So if you ask me, the division's up for grabs for the Bucks right now. You know what I mean? It's totally their division to lose. I mean, I agree with you, Pride. How the hell are the Packers ahead of the Bucks after what we saw in that championship game? They went up to Lambeau and whooped that ass. They really did. They made those Packers look soft. And the most important thing when it comes to Tom Brady and these Bucks, Tom Brady established the culture. You know, I love that whole thing, the whole Patriot way thing. We're starting to rethink that. Was that the Tom Brady way? Because yes, that's really what it might look like. And, you know, we're going to give Bill Belichick time to, you know, make sure to build his resume about Tom Brady. So that's still yet to be determined. But Tom Brady going to Tampa and winning the championship in year one like that, it really established himself like, hey, I'm the culture setter. I set the tone. And I love that he was messaging his guys before the Super Bowl like, hey, we're going to win this game. We're going to win this game. And it really put belief in those guys' hearts like, yo, we got Tom. When he believes in us, we got to believe in ourselves, because if he believes in that we could do this, then we could definitely do this. And, hey, you know, I think that's going to be a repeat of last year's Super Bowl between Mahomes and the Chiefs against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I think it'll be another great show. I hope that both teams are healthy at this point, because I do think that Patrick Mahomes, you know, he did have injuries on that line. He had the turf toe. I'm not going to make no excuses for a man, because you got to play with the team that's on there, not Sunday. But I'm not going to discredit it like if you don't have a line, it doesn't help you. We all know that there's truth to that. You're nothing without a line. But, yeah, I do think that Tom Brady probably could come back to the Super Bowl with this Buccaneers team if, you know, they keep the crew to almost the same to a degree.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's definitely some key players they're going to have to bring back. There is one thing I'm genuinely, I wouldn't say concerned about. There is one thing that does have to be mentioned. Even though Tom Brady obviously is the GOAT, and he's going to be try to keep these dudes in check. Chris Godwin, this is his first Super Bowl. Same with Mike Evans. Same with Fournette. Are they going to continue that hunger and that drive to keep going? That's going to be one of the main questions, because a lot of dudes, they get that one chip, and they're kind of like, hey, yo, I'm done. I'm good. I got that one chip. Let me just keep collecting some guap, and I'm on to the sunset, you know? So that's definitely going to be a overall theme that's going to be paid attention
to. I'm going to stop you right now real quick, because I think you make a really great, valid point, Pride. But when you got Tom Brady putting fire on your ass like that, that's the only guy you need to keep you motivated, because he will hold you accountable every single day.
To that point, if there's anybody to keep a team in check after coming off a Super Bowl, it's that man, Thomas Edward Brady. Like you say, bro, Tom Brady, he brought them to – I heard the story before that game. The team was already in Green Bay before, like a few days, probably a week, before, just to get there. Because everybody wants to say, oh, it's a Tampa Bay team. Are they going to get ready for the cold? And they must have forgot who their team quarterback was, because Brady plays in New England. Their last practice in New England is basically in a blip. So, you know, I don't got to worry about their players keeping a straight head. Look at AB.
Oh, I am. That's different. Hold on. That's a whole different kind of discussion you're having. Because AB, you saw what happened to him off the court? Yo, the law humbled this dude. The lawsuits humbled this dude. So when he came to Tampa, he was already humbled because of all the shenanigans he was doing, talking about he getting in trouble with somebody, then he go hit up that person who's suing him. Make that make sense, ref. This is basketball. Check this man up, bro. Ejected from his own life. This dude out here doing stupid stuff. But the reason I'm bringing them up is because, look, you all know the saying. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I understand that Tom Brady is there, and Tom Brady will do everything he can. He definitely will. But you can only control your teammates as much. The main advantage Tom Brady had going to the Buccaneers was the year before they went 7-9. They were starving, especially Mike Evans, starving just to spell the word playoffs. Forget Super Bowl. They've been starving to spell the word playoffs.
Yeah.
Now that they got that taste, I don't know, man. It's going to be a challenge. Now, obviously, like you said, if anybody can make it happen, it's the greatest quarterback to ever grace God's green earth, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. So if anyone can make it happen, it is that man. Yeah, but that is something you got to keep in mind. Go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, Pratt. I'll leave it at this, and I'm definitely going to throw shade. We're talking about the GOAT quarterback, Tom Brady, not a slack of days ago guy like Big Ben. You know, that's motivating the troops. You know what I mean? If anybody can get you to that finish line again, it's Tom Brady. But speaking of finish line, guys, second half of the season, of the NBA season, is about to start pretty soon. And right now, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Utah Jazz surprisingly lead their respective divisions so far, or I should say conferences, sorry about that. And, you know, it really makes a question like, and I'll throw it to you, Sander, which team do you think will ascend or fall in the second half of the season as it starts?
Wow, I'll tell you right now, it's been really good for Seth so far. A lot of surprises, but, you know, it's been a lot of excitement. I'm really proud of what the NBA is doing, pandemic, putting a really good product out there, you know, and just like if it was the regular league, you know. The teams that are on top right now, Philly, Utah, have been really the surprise all year. You know, they've been dying all year. shooting amazing from the three-point line, and they play together. They move the ball well, you know, closing guy, you know, and if you look at the team top to bottom, Dobbs really well at that position. You got Rudy Gobert, multiple defensive player of the year candidate, winner, you know, leading that forefront in the post. You think? And, you know, Utah has really been solid all year. In the East, though, Philly, you know, they were on the come up. You know, they were a top team. I think they just captured first. I don't think they've been in first all season like Utah has. But nonetheless, you know, they have Joel Embiid, MVP candidate, ball in career. You know, and Ben Simmons, no slouch, possibly defensive player of the year candidate for sure. I think his defensive percentage, you know, so he especially after being mentioned in the trade talks for James Harden earlier in the season when that was going on, you know, and I think he's putting the league on notice that he's definitely a top player. But if I had to put my money on it, on both teams, which team is going to take? I say the chance of staying at top of the West, but the Philadelphia Eagles, I don't think they're going to finish the East. I believe the Nets are on the come up, and they are coming. And I think they should be already favored right now as we speak to win the championship. If they're not right now in Vegas, JJ check. Favorite right now as we speak to win the championship, and that's not even California. So woo, I'm just geeked, you know. I think the Nets are gonna wipe the East. They're gonna fuck the West. And I think LeGoat, if he has 100%, I don't think they got a shot. But you know, Utah Jazz, I think they're gonna win the West. The Suns, though, they've been playing really good basketball. They're a top team in the West. I don't see that keeping up. I see them falling out of the top five in the playoffs. And teams like that, when they're and they fall off like that, end up a lower seed, they usually get bounced in the first round. So, you know, that's the really team that's falling off, because the West is good, man. West teams are good, especially when they get it going. Golden State fell off of the eighth seed. Right now, Dallas has it. So, you know, it's a lot of teams right now just competing to get a playoff spot. And once they top everybody in the West. In the East, though, like I said, the Brooklyn Nets are taking the Philadelphia 76ers. But the thing I think, even though I think they kind of fallen off already, but they still have a playoff spot, but I see that kind of going away. It's the East. Guys, this team has just they can't start clicking. They signed Fred VanVleet to a big deal, but I feel like, honestly, he wasn't that type of guy to get that type of deal, because I don't see him as a floor general. I think a younger Kyle Lowry runs floors around Fred VanVleet. So I feel like they really need to get that going in the offseason to, you know, get that team back to where they were, maybe a championship. But they were a tough out even without Kawhi last season. And this season, it's just not anymore. So, you know, to answer the question, I got Philadelphia losing to the Brooklyn Nets and the Toronto Raptors falling off of the playoff spot. And in the West, I think winning the West and getting that number one seed, the Suns falling out of the top five spot and possibly losing in the first round of the playoffs.
I just think it's kind of funny. Rudy Gobert, you hype him up like he's a defensive monster, and Ben Simmons, possible defensive candidate. Oh my God, he's so great. But then you pick Brooklyn Nets to win the East. Who's got a doo-doo defense. The irony. But that's neither here nor there. In terms of who I think is going to rise, I think it's Dallas. I think Dallas has right now, they won the 9 of the last 11. Luka in that stretch is giving you like 31-8. Dude, obviously, Luka's problem, no matter what. But Josh Richardson has also been kind of balling out a little bit. He's been kind of doing his thing some. And then they got homeboy coming off the bench, Brunson, I think his name is. And he's come up and he's kind of given him a nice little spark. So right now, especially with all the COVID stuff starting to die down on that team and the injuries and all that stuff, they're starting to come together. Dare I say they could make a push to be like a top four seeded team. Like right now is their position, is their opportunity to push, especially considering they have, if I'm not mistaken, the second or third easiest schedule in the West. So now that they're now all of a sudden they're like going high steam ahead and they're going to have an easier schedule. To me, that I feel like, you know, right now is the Mavs' time to come up. And in terms of who do I see falling, I mean, no one's really talking about them like that. But the New York Knicks, they're 19-18, which is fifth in the East. Definitely impressive considering the Knicks have been.
They're the Knicks.
Right. Like, it's to the point where, like, on Call of Duty, if you when you say when you want to say someone's bad, you say, hey, yo, you're the New York Knicks. That's how bad the Knicks have been. Like, I was going to say something, but let me stop. But it's just crazy because they're fifth, 19-18, but that some people have kind of pointed to the fact that they have had an easier first half of the schedule. A lot of the quality teams that they faced, they got not smacked, not double smacked. I'm talking about assault. You got to have 911 on speed dial, and you got to – you guys watch The Simpsons? When he's hitting him, he goes, stop it. He's already dead. Like, that's what's going on with the Knicks in terms of quality teams, man. It's wild. So, especially considering now, second half of the season is going to be extremely difficult for them. I don't see them being able to do anything. Right now, the Sixers, they're probably going to go on a losing streak. Ben Simmons and Embiid are out with that whole COVID thing. And, you know, obviously, I'm not a huge Embiid fan, but I don't wish nothing bad on nobody unless you're Dak. But I definitely, you know, I think right now they're going to go on a little bit of a losing streak. But they'll pick it up once they get back in. They'll probably lose a couple more games with Embiid and Simmons in. But that's just because when you have COVID, it kind of does take a lot out of your stamina, you know. So you're probably going to see them a little.
Did it say they had COVID, though? Or did it say that they were around someone that had, I don't think it was that they had COVID?
They said they came in contact, but if I'm not mistaken, I read something saying Ben Simmons had it. If I'm not mistaken, definitely double check on that. Don't quote me on that. Definitely double check that. But I could have sworn I saw something that Ben Simmons did have it. So, but even if they don't have it, you know, hopefully they come back and they're fine. In terms of the West, I don't know. I don't think the Suns are going to drop off as bad as you think they will. I think they got a solid team, especially now that, because we've spoken about this before, now Devin Booker can just do what he do. Just go be a walking bucket. Because now we got
Chris
Paul.
Hurt right now.
Devin Booker's hurt.
But at the same time, I'm talking about prior to this. And with him coming back, it's not a significant injury. They're probably going to like keep him out long term since they can actually legitimately make playoffs, so probably keep them out long term just to be on the safe side. So, but now you got Chris Paul, who's a legitimate point guard, and DeAndre Ayton all of a sudden looks better.
Real quick, I saw this post on about Chris Paul. It goes, "Hey, you need a guy to help you make the playoffs. I can fix that."
It's true. Wherever Chris Paul goes, he'll go. But unfortunately, he won't make it too deep. But again, I don't know. Like, a lot of teams can rise and a lot of teams could fall. But if I have to make a pick, I'm saying the Knicks are falling completely out of playoff contention. And I'm going to say Dallas is going to move on up. Like, they're the Jefferson, so like a top four seeded team. I know, JJ, all of a sudden, you a Mavs fan. I guess you hopped off OKC and you went over to Luka Magic. So let me guess. Do you agree with me that it's the Mavs that can rise up?
I got no loyalty to any team when it comes to NBA. Oklahoma City Thunder broke my heart way too many times, and I'm just a free agent. I ride the wave. But hey, you nailed it, though. I love me some Luka Doncic. I really do. And that doesn't make me exclusively a Mavericks fan. That's what it's like. I love LeBron. Doesn't make me a Laker fan. I just love players, and I follow them. But hey, I do agree with you, Pride. You know, this Mavericks team just happened to put themselves in the top eight right before the All-Star break, and I think that they're only on the rise. They got one of the best young players in the league. He got Porzingis there. And I think that with them too, they're enough to keep themselves in the playoff picture. If everything just plays in their cards, they definitely do have their strength of schedule does get a little weaker. If they just happen to win the games they need to win, I think they'll fight themselves between 5 and 8. And, you know, I don't know if they'll make it to a top four seed because, you know, that is, it is top heavy between the Jazz, the Lakers, the Clippers, and I believe the Nuggets are the fourth seed at the moment. All four of those teams prove that they're all pretty legit teams at this point. So, like I said, my pick, I agree with you. I think the Mavericks are on the rise. And when it comes to the East, you know, Sander, you know, Brooklyn, they really cleaned up their act, you know, on defense a bit. I got to give them credit. They're not elite pride. They're not this the defensive juggernaut or anything. It will never come down to that because that's just not their title. They're not going to be that. But their agenda is going to be, hey, we're going to put up 130. Are you going to put up 130? Because we could do it. Can you? So, if that works out for them, they'll be a good team. And I don't know. I like the Knicks being a good team at the moment. I think the league is better when the New York markets are doing well. But a team that I feel that's really going to make some noise, it's your beloved Celtics, pride. You know, I really think that they're just too talented to be looking the way that they look. I love Brad Stevens. I trust him as a coach. I love Jason Tatum. I love Jaylen Brown. I love Marcus Smart. I love these guys, you know, and maybe, you know, you predicted a couple of weeks ago saying that maybe they'll make a move. Maybe they still might. You know, maybe your time was just off. Maybe they're the team that steals Hassan Whiteside or Andre Drummond. And we just don't know that. Andre Drummond, you know. There's a lot of big men that, you know, they need necessity in that role, and maybe they'll snatch him up. Boston's a big market. People love the legacy that town brings, especially that team. You know, they only trail the Lakers when it comes to total and championships. You know, in Boston, it's all championship or bust. So, you know, I do think that Boston is going to be a team on the rise when it comes to the East. And like I just said about the West, I think it's the Mavericks. So, like I said, it's a race to the finish line now, fellas, in the NBA season. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and our Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports for your best memes, spiciest conversations. And, hey, we're a kick-ass group, so make sure you guys message us and add us whenever you guys want. We're ready to debate with anybody that wants to talk. I'm JJ Vargas alongside Riley, my man Sander. See you next time. Damn.